Well, we were in John 15 again, so let's turn there. In the last hour, we were talking about pruning, and I mentioned that I thought that there were that the scope of pruning tends to be from a particular sin that we know about, from a sin that maybe we didn't know about, but the Lord wants to reveal to us something, new light that is revealed to us from His Word, or sometimes a cleansing from what is inferior or weak or base, self-driven, self-interest, those sorts of things. And then we talked about the agents of pruning. Primarily God's Word, secondarily His kindness and His love, and thirdly, His use of affliction. And then I asked you guys for some examples of that. Does anybody else want to share an example of God's pruning of your life? Maybe it was the Word just flew off the page about something, or it was His kindness that brought you to a realization of an area that He wanted to prune in, or affliction. Anyone? Zoe. Why don't you speak up a little louder?
Many years ago, I was away from the Lord. I was studying with the Jehovah's Witnesses. And it was winter, and I was driving with my friend. And beside us was this car where the lady had her white coat caught in the car and was getting muddy and bad.
Her coat was getting very muddy and bad, and my Jehovah's Witness friend said, "Oh, we need to let her know." It was at a turn, and I said, "No, I'm not," and I turned. And she looked at me, and she said, "And you call yourself a Christian?" And it was like, "Oh, yeah, I do, but why?" And that was the start of me coming back to the Lord. That was the prune that let in some light.
All right. Okay. Anybody else?
The Lord has been doing some pruning recently, this summer, really, during our time away of camping, and I think it would probably fall into a category of somewhat unrevealed, not a known sin that I was refusing to deal with, but the last year at school has had its challenges for me and some difficult relationships, some hurtful things that have been done. Not necessarily sin, but hurt, at least, that the Lord really revealed to me in the last few weeks that I have an angry, unforgiving heart that's been lodged. Anger and unforgiveness has been lodged in my heart toward a particular individual that I work with. And anyway, it was kind of through the course of a book, but that book really led me to Scripture. The Word that is what is penetrating and is the knife that has been cutting and pruning, but I hesitate to even share because I'm really in the process still. It still remains to be tested. School hasn't started yet this year, and I'm sure the Lord and the enemy will test it, but at this point, there's been a decision of my will. The feelings are not all there yet, but there's been a decision of my will to cancel a debt. That's what the Lord has brought me to, is to cancel a debt, which really means they don't owe me anymore. They don't owe me anymore. They're not in debt to me anymore. And right now that is a decision of my will that I have made, and I expect it to be tested, but I feel a little tearful right now, but there's really actually already been some great freedom that has come from that. You know, you expect when you hold on to something or whatever that you're going to make that person pay, but really I think I've been paying for it, and the Lord's bringing some freedom to my own heart through that, but anyway, it's been some hard pruning. It's hard to let go of offenses. And I think it's time to let go of that debt. And So I'm in a pruning process, but it's been some good steps to this point.
All right. Anyone else? John.
A couple of years ago, I spent a summer in China. I was doing my internship for my degree, and I went there, and I was going to be part of it. I was going there with an organization, but I was flying from the States over there by myself, and I was going to be living. I had trouble with my visa to get to not be a tourist. So I actually had to live in a hotel while I was there. Couldn't live with other people because that would mean I was not a tourist, but yada, yada, yada. But while I was there, I never understood what it was like to depend on the Lord every moment of every day just to do little tiny things like have a conversation, to walk down the street, to learn to be content, not constantly being surrounded by people who spoke English and have conversations. And there was times where it was really, really miserable. I remember that when I first flew in, my flight got 2 hours delayed from leaving the States. Therefore, I was 2 hours late to my plane in one city. And the layover was only 2 hours. Therefore, I missed my flight to get to my where I was actually supposed to go. And I had no cell phone, no way of contacting the people who were supposed to pick me up. No one spoke English. I knew this amount of Chinese. I could say hello. That was about as far as I could go. And I had 48 hours without sleep, so at that point you have nothing left on your own. But little tiny steps, I began to see the Lord saying, hey, I got you. I'm going to take care of you. Eventually I found someone that spoke English. Eventually I was sitting in a restaurant, and I saw that restaurant had Wi-Fi. And I could hop on the internet and send an email to the people who were supposed to pick me up and let them know I was going to be late. But it was little tiny things like that were absolutely miserable and hard. But the Lord showed me that this is what it's like to truly depend on me every step of the way.
Amen. All right. All right. Well, listen, good sharing, and I'd love to hear more, but the clock is working on us, so we're going to move on. So in the first hour, the activity of pruning, who does the pruning? Do we do the pruning? Who does the pruning? The father, the vine dresser, the husbandman, the gardener, different translations. I want us to read our text again. You may still have that sheet. If not, we'll just read the first 8 verses and then 16. And this time I want you to be looking for our responsibility. The Father's work is pruning. And it happens to us whether we invite it or not. But we have a responsibility. And what is it? And it says it in here. And I want you to be looking. And this is the chance to circle. The first one was underlined. Now I want you to circle. Circle everything you see that is our responsibility. All right, do you have it? Do you have this sheet that we're working? Why don't we read it out loud together? Can you read out loud and circle at the same time? Since we have all the same version for the most part, let's read it together. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vineyard keeper. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Let me pause there. Thank you. By responsibilities, we're going to know a responsibility because it's the result of a command or an imperative or a you must do this. In the first 3 verses, have we come across any commands yet? Not yet. It's all been the Father's activity. Yeah, it says there we're to produce the branches to produce fruit, but we haven't hit a command yet, right? All right, let's pick it up in verse 4. Ready? Remain in me and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Now skip down to 16. Ready? You did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you that you should go out and produce fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. All right. Where is the first command that you came, or the first responsibility that is ours, as we read in here? Which is in verse 4, remain in me. Where's the next one? Yep, that refers back to this concept of remaining. Any more commands? Specific commands? Okay. Ask whatever you wish, and you find that in verse 7. Verse 16. You should go out and produce fruit. Okay? Very good. Now, I'm going to focus in on one of those words, and it's the word remain. As to fruit producing, the Father's goal is our producing of fruit, and not just a little bit of fruit, but a whole lot of fruit. And to that end, He prunes, right? Our part in the whole of producing fruit is what?
Remain.
Remain where? Remain. What does that look like? Remain connected to the vine. What do some of your other translations use for that word remain?
Abide.
What else? Any others? Okay. Some say continue. Let's look at that word and how we see it used in the New Testament to see if we can get a better handle on it. What I'm going to ask you to look for is this. The first of all is a certain concept. The way this word is used in the Bible, in the New Testament, indicates two important matters. Two important matters. What are they? I want you to discern, first of all, a concept. Boy, how about those grapes, huh? Wouldn't you love to just walk right out of your house into an orchard like that? Here's our word remain, and as I said, it means to remain or abide or continue. We don't have an exact translation for that in English, but these words help us to get an understanding of it. And there's a certain concept, and we're going to look at these words. I'm asking you to look for this concept that comes out by this usage, all right? Mary visited Elizabeth, and there's the word, remained with her about 3 months. Another one. Jesus, after he was invited to continue ministry among the Samaritans, remained there 2 days. When Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before he went to the cross, he said to Peter, James, and John, remain here and watch with me. What kind of concept do you see? We might come back to these. Let's look at some more. When Paul was imprisoned in Rome and he was awaiting his appearance before Caesar, he was allowed to abide or remain by himself with the soldier that guarded him for 2 years. Paul says of the believer who gives help to others, his righteousness remains forever. Do you see any common denominator in these? Mary visited Elizabeth, remained with her about 3 months. Jesus remained with the Samaritans 2 days. Christ said, remain here and watch and pray. And then Paul in prison remained by himself for 2 years. And the believer who gives help to others, that righteousness remains forever. Do you see any common denominator in all of those?
It's a...
Pardon? Stay. There's a duration. What does the word duration trigger in your mind? Think about that a minute. You're on the right track. Duration. Time. Look at that. Let's go back through them. Mary visited Elizabeth and stayed, remained, continued with her 3 months. Jesus was invited to continue ministry, and he remained, continued, stayed there 2 days. Oops. And Christ, remain here while I go and pray. Do you see something there? How about this one? He remained there for a period of 2 years. Are you seeing it? His righteousness remains forever. What are you nodding there, Phyllis? What do you see?
Time.
Exactly. It's time. This remain or abide or continue carries with it the concept of time. That's not the only concept, but it is a key concept with this word remain. You see it? You see it? Go back and look at all of the times where we see remain or abide, this particular word, and you'll be surprised. There is often, very often, about the most obscure one is the bottom one, remain here and watch with me. It doesn't give a specific time, but it assumes that there is a time, a duration. Okay? Now, let's see. I don't know if I kept going or not. There it is, the concept of time. Can I give you a couple more? Paul said to Timothy, continue in the things you have learned. There's time, duration. How about this one? The word of God lives and remains forever. How about Hebrews? Christ lives and abides as a priest continually, forever, right? You hear the concept of time, duration? All right, there's a second concept of this remain, of the abide, of the continue, and it speaks of something else. See if you can discern it. We see about it when we come to that one about Elizabeth with Mary. Elizabeth went and stayed with Mary, as you know, for 3 months, Elizabeth with Mary. The next one is Jesus was walking on. The disciples came and said, Master, where are you staying? And he said, come and see. And so Jesus was with Andrew and Peter, and they remained with him. He remained with them, it says. When Jesus sent the disciples out to go out into the two by two and all, and he said, go out, don't go from house to house, go and stay with one house and remain there with that house. So what does that have to do with anything? And when Jesus came to Zacchaeus, he remained with Zacchaeus for that evening meal, and they had conversation and so on and so forth. What do you see? One more. When the two disciples were walking with Jesus on the road to Emmaus after he was raised, and they were talking, and they urged with him, and they said, stay with us, remain with us, continue with us. And they had a meal. He did stay, and they had a meal. Do you see anything here? What is it?
Relationship.
Relationship, fellowship. It's like the first concept is time, and the second is a quality of relationship, quality of time. We're not just two peas in a pod, and we don't relate to each other and speak. There's a quality of that time together. And so when Jesus says, remain in me, stay with me, he's stressing a relationship between us, and it involves these two things. Time with me. I don't expect you to just be a bump on a log. I expect time and quality. I don't expect that we're going to have quality relationships if we're not spending time together. Christy, did you have a thought? Stay joined. That's good. That gets the concept. And so what I want to ask you is, what then is Jesus saying? He's saying, first of all, every branch in me that doesn't produce fruit, the Father prunes it away. If a branch does produce, he prunes it so that it will bear more fruit. That's the Father's work, to prune you so you'll be not just producing fruit, but producing a lot of it, like those grapes. Secondarily, you have a responsibility, disciples. Remember, this is the hand on the doorknob talk before I go to the cross. This is what he saved for the night before. This is so important, it has to be said before I go to the cross. And he says, the Father's going to do a pruning work. And you are to remain, continue, stay, abide with me. And guys, it looks just like the grapevine. There is no such thing as a branch producing grapes if it is not staying with, continuing with, abiding with, what was it?
Stay joined.
Stay joined. Even better in the horticulture word, isn't it? Yeah. Stay joined. You won't produce fruit. No branch can produce fruit if it's not staying joined to the vine. And you folks are the same way. You're not going to produce fruit, men, if you are not staying joined, remaining, continuing with me. Sounds good, doesn't it? What is staying joined with Christ? What is time with Christ? What is quality with Christ? Are we just going to say amen and go, or are we going to put brass tacks to that? What does that look like for you and me? Well, that's obviously church on Sunday morning. Check, ready to go. What is it, folks? How do we do those things?
It's a bond of fellowship.
A bond of fellowship. That's the word I think somebody used over here, fellowship. And fellowship happens by the internet. Without effort, it happens. That's right. You guys are tracking with me. I like this. How else does it happen? It happens when we're communicating. Talk to me.
It happens by agreement.
Agreement? Okay. If we're at odds, if there's odds, we're not doing so well, are we? Yeah. You think about a relationship, I think of Barb and me. Sometimes we'll get the whole clan together and the house is bustling with all the people we love. You know, it's just great. And you can't imagine more of the goodness around you. But after 2, 3, 6, however many days, we're so busy, we're this far from each other, but I feel like we're distant all of a sudden. What's up? What's up with that? Maybe the quality suffered, right? Is it possible to do the same with our Lord? Busy, was that Martha? Busy about many things, I think George brought that up in the early hour. Doing good stuff, but something about the quality. Anybody else have any insights? And I just had this thought when you mentioned that. But the older brother's at home, but I'm not sure how much abiding there was going on with the older brother and the father either, right? You might be right. All right. I want to ask you, friends, this is the rubber meeting the road. How are you doing with the time and the quality of the Lord, with the Lord, the time and the quality? It's time to let the chickens come home and ask ourselves the hard questions, right? The time. Boy, we're in a busy, busy world. Isn't that why they call it the human race? Because we're always racing around. We're in a busy, busy lives. And if we're not careful, the time flies away. And the very thing we wanted to do, and that's why he said, you need to remain, continue. Stay, how come I can't remember this? Stay joined to.
Stay joined.
Stay joined to. And that takes time, doesn't it? And then it takes quality too, right? How are you doing in the quality time with the Lord? How are you doing in the time, first of all, but then the quality of that time? Does it feel hurried? Does it feel... What is the Lord saying to you about that? Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials or afflictions. Why? Because I want to get your attention. I want to bring you back. We want a relationship, one that's solid, one that's bearing fruit, but that is remaining on me. All right? What are you going to do with that? Your homework is to ask yourself the question seriously. How am I doing in the time and the quality department? Because those two flesh out that word remain, continue, abide, stay joined. All right? Ken, I'm handing off to you now.